up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
When trying to find a partner, I mean, no one's perfect, but, you know, you might have a perfect set of attributes, in your opinion, that would make someone perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
Kardashian is going through that process right now, which I think we all should go through. You know, really detail the things that matter to you the most.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're in a relationship, you know, going over that again and, you know, maybe even reiterating that to your partner, you know, these are things that I really value, could be really,
Helpful.
Helpful for the relationship.
Yeah, because sometimes it goes off track.
Right, and so a lot of times when we're out looking for partners or looking for a couple or someone to couple up with, we are not exactly very clear on what we want. And I think that's a pitfall, because then you'd settle for anything.
Mm.
Kim Kardashian is going through that process right now. She's trying to really detail the things that matter most to her in a partner, life after Kanye, as we do know. Take a listen.
Well, what are yours first?
You know what? Someone who's reasonable.
Yeah.
Reasonable. You know, you ever get into an argument with somebody and you're trying to detail your truth, your point, in the most layman's plain way, and the person just doesn't either get it or doesn't want to get it. That's the kicker right there. When someone really doesn't want to understand where you are, I think being reasonable is a really huge attribute for a conflict resolution.
Yeah, so. I think for me, I think a lot of it had to do culturally.
Mm-hmm.
So on my list, I would have to say, like, you have to understand how carnival works, or you have to understand just like smaller things about the culture that may look kind of funny to some people. So that's on mine.
That's a big one. You know,
you found everything on your list, Marilyn.
I have nothing on the list. The list was met.
Well, what did he mean?
Well, I'll tell you what. In 2016, Roger said, well, Marilyn's 2016, so what are you looking for in a partner?
Mm-hmm.
It was in January. I said, I'm looking for a person who understands that I have a career,
mm-hmm.
that I get up so at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he has to understand my love of the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you get that, that's fantastic. Well, he does get that.
Okay. And so does he inject any Seattle digs at
you? Oh, occasionally. But you know what? I let him have it.
Okay.
I mean, I let him have it.
There's some teams that don't have any crossover for you,
yeah,
I think.
No,
I mean, you could what team in Seattle would you have to embrace? The Sounders. You could do that.
Oh, yeah, No, it's
the MLS team.
It's all good. It's just like, this is what I like, and I'm not going to, women are notoriously trying to adopt what men like, and we don't really say what we like and what we would like to do, and so it's really important to do that. And I feel that you should have an outline pretty much of what you want. When you're younger, Jamar, you're kind of trying to figure out who you are, but as you get older, like Kim Kardashian, she's been through a lot, and she now and has children involved, and because she has children involved, there are certain requirements.
Yeah, this is what Kim says. These are the details of her perfect person.
Yeah.
Spontaneous, fun, my friends and family love him, someone that can be a role model for my kids, especially that my boys can look up to. No heavy baggage, I have enough.
No heavy baggage. That's a funny one.
Well, you know, as you get older and you have kids, there's always baggage.
I mean, her last relationship, he has the heaviest of baggage at this point.
Baggage you can deal with.
That baggage you can deal with, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And also somebody who people have their past biases about past relationships.
Yeah.
They don't put that on your present relationship.
Yeah, don't do
that. You
know? I don't want to hear about your ex. It doesn't really matter to
it's
me.
It's a fresh start.
Because you're here now.
Turn up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
So Kim Kardashian, in the latest of the Kardashians, let it be known the thing she's looking for in a partner this next time around. Take a listen to what she had to say.
Number one. Protect me. Number two, fight for me. Number three, good hygiene. I mean, that's like a given. I think I should even take that off. Number four, calm. Five, no mom or dad issues. Six, patient. Seven, supportive. Genuinely happy for me. Successful. Good teeth. Teeth are like one of my biggest turn-ons. The straighter, the hornier I'll get.
Wow, check that out. I mean, she shouldn't have a problem finding someone with good teeth. Everyone in Hollywood has veneers. Pretty much all of them. I'm looking at some pictures right now. I just Googled celebs with great teeth.
Yeah.
And the reason why so many people in Hollywood have great teeth is because they've all had them done. Everyone from Jim Carrey, 50 Cent, Cardi B, Miley Cyrus, Niall, who was just here, Celine Dion, Morgan Freeman, they've all gotten veneers.
And I also, I heard, maybe I can't qualify this statement, but she said at some point, if I met somebody who I really liked who didn't have good teeth, I would get them veneers.
Look at the old Tom Cruise.
She was laughing about it. Oh, man.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, what happened to his teeth?
Well, he you know, got a little cash.
I'm coming over.
Yeah, she did say, you know, if they don't have good teeth, I wouldn't mind paying for those
That's
veneers.
That's exactly.
Yeah, you know.
So, well, you know. I think these are all good good qualities to find in a person, but good luck for finding all those.
Some people on our list are saying, as long as he has his own teeth, they're good. We found a text saying that one.
All right.
We have some more, you know.
Unless you are a retired hockey player. That happens. Okay, go.
Right. We have some, you know, nicer ones, like honest eyes, trust, loyal, empathetic. Somebody said choose with mouth closed. So the bar is on the ground.
Well, right, you know, there. Yeah. I mean, that
gentleman
is...
Gentleman qualities.
Okay, gentleman qualities.
Holding a door open, being romantic, honest and trusting, faithful.
Some of those qualities kind of permeate throughout your personality. Like, if you hold the door open for people, you're probably hopefully genuinely a kind person, thoughtful person, right?
Yeah, you're thinking about somebody else.
Right.
Which is nice, and that shows just in those actions do speak louder than words.
Yeah, there you go.
Especially when you're dating somebody. Yeah.
Right. Confident, secure but not arrogant, communicator, supportive, reasonable, likes sports, likes the outdoors, doing outdoor stuff, especially on the water. Must be a Steeler fan. Passionate. Have my back.
Yeah.
Clean, fun, no kids.
Well, you've just eliminated half the real world. But okay.
but if that's what you want, then that's what you want. And you know, sometimes you go, well, I don't really like that, but I will take that in. And you do, whatever, but don't complain about it years from now.
Right.
Because that's just what you accepted, so... It's hard out. It's difficult out there.
It is difficult, but everyone should have an idea of what they kind of want, because too many times we find ourselves in relationships, we're like, what was I even doing with this person?
Yeah. You know, like, I was watching The Secret many, many years ago on a DVD. That's how many years ago it was. And I realized that what they were basically saying is, say what you want. Don't say what you don't want.
Yeah.
Say what you want. Put it out in the universe, and you might be surprised. You might get it. I did.
Help you get an awareness, right? There you go.
Yeah.
Say what you want.
Yeah. And he has good teeth.
Good stuff. All right. Check all the boxes. Now go get them.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
I've definitely noticed that there are more electric cars on the road now than ever. I mean, not a ton, but... I'm always looking for, you know, when a car pushes off after a light.
Yeah.
Listen for the engine noise to see if it's got any grit. And sometimes you don't hear anything and you're just like, oh, electric. It's kind of interesting.
Is a Genesis an electric car? Because I've seen a lot.
I think they do have an electric version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of that. All right.
Yeah. But now you even see them in like pickup trucks or they'll make no noise whatsoever. And I'm just like, wow, electric pickup. Interesting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Cars are changing. BMW is trying to push things forward a little bit with more innovation to their electronics. For example, you know, you want to change lanes, you just hit the stick for your indicator, your blinker, right? Yep. On the new 5 Series, apparently there'll be an option where instead of hitting the indicator lights with your hand, you'll just use your eyes.
So I don't trust my eyes. So if I, like, if I'm looking in the rear view mirror and I'm looking at a car coming and I got, look.
Well, you look at
is it going to make me go to the left lane?
Not exactly. You look in the rear view mirror and then, you know, then you look in your side view mirror.
Uh-huh.
And then the car will ask you if you actually want to change lanes, and there will be some kind of gesture, like an eye confirmation. Maybe it'll be a blink, or maybe I actually don't even know exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah.
The closest thing I could think would be a blink or some kind of gesture that the car will recognize that you actually want to change lanes. And then it will put on your indicator for you, your blinker.
And then you make the move to make the lane change.
Well, you can make the move, or the car can even make the move on its own and take over and lane and change lane.
I'm afraid of that.
Yeah?
Well, at least, I mean, if the car knows that other cars are, there's a Mack truck, it knows to wait before that changes lanes.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. If the car, here's what bugs me about this voice-activated stuff. Like, I'm right in the middle of a great song that I love, and I go, turn left. And I go, shut up.
I know.
That was the great moment of the song.
I know.
And you interrupted it.
I turn off sound on Waze. I don't like the interruptions.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know,
so
because
this should be like,
for the same reason I turned it off.
Yeah, so this is life and death. You know, would you like to turn left? I would like to hear that, but probably not during some of my favorite songs. What do you think of all this? Do you trust yourself on that? Are you okay with that?
I've been in cars. I've driven cars that have that lane departure kind of warning thing, where if you come a little too close to the lines on the lane, it'll vibrate the steering wheel. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of this stuff gets time, you know, getting used to. And then once you get used to it, it, you know, becomes part of your routine.
Yeah. Do you start talking to your car like I do? I go, I know I'm over the thing, but there's a parked car, so shut up.
I'll tell you what my car does. When I try to parallel park, maybe say on Queen or whatever, and another car comes flying down the road behind me, for some reason my car thinks that I'm going to hit that car, and then it will jam on the brakes.
Oh, I've had that happen.
And all of a sudden the car goes, I'm like, I wasn't doing anything. And I'm like,
but you talk to the car, don't you?
Yeah, now I talk to the car.
All right. Well, anyway, this is, they're making really unbelievable headway when it comes to technology.
5 Series Beamer.
It's here.
October 2023.
Wow.
This year. Your eyes changing lanes for you. How about that?
Yeah, good. Don't itch your eyes out.
Yeah, right? Don't.
Wait a minute.
Don't itch your eyes.
What about sunglasses? We haven't even talked about that.
Who knows?
Oh, boy.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
We do this way too often, and we need to probably stop leaving certain items in our car, especially on hot days. There is a story out of the UK of someone who left their sunglasses on the dashboard of their car. Now, that sounds like a very benign thing to do, whatever. If I showed you this picture of what happened afterwards, you'll never do it again. This car essentially burst into flames.
Ugh.
The dashboard burnt to smithereens, a big hole in the windshield.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And essentially because the sunshine was shining through the windshield onto the dashboard where the sunglasses were, and it turned the sunglasses into like a death ray. Because the lens of the glasses essentially intensifies the rays of the sun.
Is it refracting? Something like that.
It's magnifying, actually. Magnifying. It's kind of like when you put a magnifying glass on a bug or something, which you shouldn't do. Don't do that. But when you did do that, it does the same thing. And the sun's ray becomes that much stronger and intense on that spot on the vinyl or whatever your dashboard is made out of.
So you got the vinyl, you got the glass, you got the other glass in the glasses, and it just implodes.
And then it burns the dashboard, and then a fire starts. Don't leave your sunglasses on your dashboard. Stop doing that.
I used to have a dashboard, but it's gone.
Oh. Too soon. I forgot. We shouldn't talk about cars today.
I can't believe you're talking about cars.
I know. If you didn't know, Marilyn's car got stolen yesterday.
On my driveway.
So sorry.
But, you know, I think about sometimes when we're outside and we're working outside and we leave our iPhone or phone and you just leave it somewhere in the shade and then the sun moves very quickly and how hot your phone gets.
Have you ever gotten one of those messages on your phone that your phone's overheating?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't
so
do that.
You don't have that message with this situation, but that's how fast it happened.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is wild. Uh-huh. Are you one of those guys that puts the foil in the dash?
You know what? I'm not. But I've always wanted one of those things.
Well,
because it protects your dashboard,
right? The dashboard, it doesn't bleach your dashboard.
Right.
My husband does it. He's got a 2008 car.
Uh-huh.
It's in mint condition.
And it looks great, right? Because he doesn't have all the sun damage
and
inside.
And he's not the only one in the neighborhood that does it.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, because a lot of us don't have driveways. That's why my car was stuck.
I know. I'm so sorry.
But anyway, it's worth it. It's worth it if you park outside.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Also, other things that they say you shouldn't leave inside your car. Bottles of cologne and perfumes that have alcohols in them.
Yeah.
things that are pressurized, like pressurized cans that could get hot.
Yes.
And also water bottles or anything with any type of solvent inside. They say you shouldn't leave those in your car because you never know what happens if the car's temperature starts rising. You know what's in that bottle.
You shouldn't leave anything in your car just in case it's stolen.
Okay. Producer Simone, no car stories for the next month. We're not talking about... And this is for your benefit. All right? No, I get it.
I'm okay now. It's all good.
No.
Okay.
We're laying off the car story.
Okay.
I know. We're gonna let the edge wear off a little bit.
All right.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
We decided to give you a bunch of songs that you probably didn't know were covers.
Yeah.
Let's start with this song that was covered by Cyndi Lauper back in the day. Take a listen.
Girls just wanna have fun.
Yeah, okay. Cyndi Lauper, of course.
This guy was Robert Hazard, 1979. Cyndi Lauper, 83. It's like new wave to I just want to have fun. Hi, everybody.
Cyndi's is better.
Oh my gosh, by a long shot. You got it.
Yeah. Remember the Pussycat Dolls?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Pussycat Dolls, that group that was kind of pieced together of these...
Only one of them sang.
Yeah, Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah.
That big hit from the Pussycat Dolls, Don'tcha, apparently was done before they did it.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me?
That's Tori Alamaze in 04, and a year later, PCD did it. Sounds pretty similar.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me?
Yeah, they stayed pretty close to the source material on that one. Didn't really change much.
No, no kidding.
Otis Redding did a song that is more well-known for Aretha Franklin. Take a listen.
What you
Otis Redding.
Yeah, and then, of course, Aretha.
What you want, baby, I got you. What you need.
Aretha Franklin.
You know I got it.
Did I just say that?
Yes, she did. 1967 with Aretha, and boy, she put a lot of soul in it. But I do love Otis Redding's version of it, too. Anyway, yeah. That's good. How about for the next one?
J-Lo.
I didn't know this was a remake.
Yeah. Originally in the 97, this song was done by Party. Take a listen. Third Party.
Oh.
Yeah, Third Party. And then 2 years ago, 2 years later, J-Lo decided to do her spin on it. Yeah, she's stay pretty
and
close.
You know, and when you hear her voice and Third Party doing it, I can see why she was drawn to it, because it's in her kind of...
In her range,
In her range, yeah. Well, this next one's really interesting.
Yeah, this is a song from a Danish singer named Lis Sørensen in 93. You may not understand a word of the song, but you know exactly who covered it when you hear it. Take a listen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know that. Okay,
4 years later, 4 years later, Natty and Imbruglia said, I got this.
Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel.
It's a staple on our radio station.
I love that song.
You know what? I have to tell you, it is the best song. And it really has, it's ageless.
Oh, yeah. Great. It's a great song.
Great song, yeah. All right.
It used to come on like right after Gin and Juice. With Snoop Dogg and then Natty. Palate Cleanse. I don't know. That was the
time. It came after 38 Special on this station. And then Bruce Hornsby in the Range back in the day.
That's funny.
All right.
There it is. Things get redone and redone.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
I just want our special guest who's on the line right now to just say something.
Say something.
Say something. How about you say...
Say something nice, for God's sake.
Say Chum 104.5. How about that?
Chum 104.5. You want me to do the weather?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's going to be hot today, a high of 30 degrees. Same thing for tomorrow.
All right. And then you say, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
It's Roger Ashby, everybody.
Hey. Nice to be on the radio again.
Oh, Roger, seriously. I mean, you know, we saw you yesterday as we were celebrating our promotions director, Dwayne Reed's 35th year working for the company. He's been such a great promotions director. And then you got a surprise yesterday. You want to share that with everybody?
Well, you know, I came down for Dwayne's surprise, as you said, and suddenly Sarah Cummings presented me with this plaque that says Roger Ashby Way, and a portion of Duncan Street between Queen and Richmond is going to be named Roger Ashby Way. The sign is going up next week.
No, sir.
The sign is,
up now.
It's literally up in my line of sight as I look over my monitor. I look out the window and I see Duncan Street, which is on top, Roger Ashby Way.
Really?
Right now.
Fantastic.
Literally.
It really is quite an honor. I mean, I've seen other streets around town with people's names on them, and I think, gee, that's pretty impressive. How do you get to do that? So this was really nice. I have to thank everybody at CHUM and the City of Toronto for arranging all of this. It was just a delightful surprise, and I've got the little plaque that Sarah gave me, so it's prominently displayed.
Well, Roger, you're being quite modest.
Yeah.
For those who are new to the party, and that's a few because many, many know what the deal is, can you just tell them about your tenure and your history here with this radio station?
Well, I spent close to, I spent close to 50 years working for CHUM Radio, 1050 CHUM and 104 CHUM FM. And, I enjoyed every minute of it. I retired in 2018, Jamar, and you came along and took my place. And Marilyn, you're hanging in there. I think that's wonderful. But yeah, I had a great tenure at CHUM.
Yeah, you did.
What's one of your favorite things about this institution, CHUM 104.5?
Well, if I go way back to the beginning, when it was owned by the Waters family, they were a delightful family to work for. They all walked in the same door as the employees did, and we all knew each other quite well, and that got me off to a great start. We went through a couple of ownership changes, of course, but I was always treated very well. I think I got along quite well with everybody, and it was just a wonderful 50-year career, you know, and I don't know how many people are going to have 50 years at any one place because it seems everything, not just radio, but most businesses seem to be more transient now than ever before.
True.
But I'm thankful for my time.
Well, very good. It's great to hear your voice, but we can continue to hear your voice. Where, Raj?
Well, Marilyn, thanks for the opportunity.
No problem.
It's called
the Roger Ashby
Oldie Show.
Right.
And it features 50, 60, 70 songs, the kind of stuff that I grew up with. It's on various radio stations across the province.
Yes.
I'm on a station in Manitoba, New Brunswick, and it's on the iHeartRadio app, and it's a weekly show.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much for talking to us, and congratulations. I'm looking at your sign right now. That means you have to come south of Bloor once again. I know you don't do that often. To come and take a look at Roger Ashby Way.
I'm so honored. Thank you.
And I will make sure all dog owners respect the street.
Yes. We're on it. After we
do have an issue
the show, now that I'm leaving the Marilyn Dennis Show, Jamar and I are going to walk this block. And just tell people, hey, no disrespect.
I'm cleaning up every piece of gum.
Nice.
Roger, it's a pleasure to hear your voice, man. And congratulations on a fantastic
career. Thanks, Jamar. Great to talk to you.
Love
Thank you.
I'll see
Thank
you on the golf
both.
Course soon.
Turn up Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. CHUM 104.5.
See, I understand. I feel the mom's pain because, you know, from my own experience, my son, right now, he's in the stage. He's a professional no artist. Literally, everything is no. No, no, no. Doesn't want to do anything. Doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to eat anything. And you have to figure out a way to get your kids to eat if you're going to a restaurant with them. This mom on TikTok says that her hack that she uses is to get her toddler, younger child, to eat when they go out for dinner at the restaurant is bringing food with her, meaning she doesn't let her toddler eat the food at the restaurant they go to. She brings a whole packed meal. Well, listen to her. Let her tell it.
Call me cheap, call me whatever, but if we're going out to a restaurant, I'm packing my kid a meal.
I do this for many reasons. On Friday nights, my family and I get together, and tonight we're getting food out. My son is not getting food out. For one, you want me to pay $6.99 for chicken tenders and fries that my son is going to throw half of it on the floor. You're crazy. Also, whatever I pack is probably going to be healthier than what the restaurant has anyways. Tonight on the menu, peanut butter and jelly, bananas, mild cheddar cheese cubes, and a chocolate Lara bar. Also, when we get to a restaurant, my child is not waiting for anyone to take his order. He wants to eat now. I can just hand him this and let him go to town. Also, my child is not opinionated. He does not care what he eats. He just wants to eat.
Well, those Lara bars are tasty, but I don't know. What did I do? Yeah, you said your son was a picky eater.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the trick to get him to eat at a restaurant?
Well, when we would go, I would take something with me just in case he wouldn't eat the meal. And the meal that he ordered, I just didn't order a meal for me. So whatever he didn't finish, I ate.
Whatever he didn't finish, you ate. Okay,
which so was,
you shared his food. Okay.
So, you know, so it could have been a cheeseburger. It could have been a chicken, you know, fingers. It could have been all.
So you didn't order a meal for yourself?
No, not when I went to go out with him. Like, listen, it was just the two of us, right?
Right.
So I thought, I want to show him how to, you know, be a good person at a restaurant. Like, get him used to that a little bit. And it could be just like at the keg. And then he started seeing other people eating stuff. And so he started thinking about, why can't I have that? So, you know, it broadens their horizons. But let me tell you, Jamar, peace at all costs, okay? Peace at all costs. I'm telling you, if it wasn't Game Boy, it was a peanut butter honey sandwich. I'm telling you.
So funny. We went to a restaurant yesterday, and I go through this routine with him where he doesn't want to eat anything. So, you know, I say the game is, I said, don't tell me that it's nasty. Taste it first and then tell me how nasty it is.
Yeah.
And it's usually not. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the game. So I give him the right to tell me if food is nasty only once he's tasted.
That's
and then he loves doing that because he just wants to slam the food. But then he eats it and it ends up tasting good. So I go, so how nasty is it? He goes, I don't know, because you didn't taste it. He goes, ah, ha, ha. Then they'll make him taste it. Yeah. And I'll be like, okay, nasty or not? It'll be like, it was good.
Oh, that's good. That's a good way of doing it. Everly, I will give her a piece of avocado, let's say, the day before. And the next day, it's like, I don't like this. So I just think it's just the mood that they're in.
I feel like...
You know what I mean? So save your money. Take the sandwich. If they do eat something that you order, have them eat off your plate.
Yeah.
Too, you know?
I just don't... I just... I know she's trying to keep the peace. I just don't feel like I want to teach my kid that when we go to restaurants, we're going to bring your own separate food. It just looks, looks and feels weird.
You know what else is good, though? What else is good? Because a friend of mine did this. Mind you, she had more money than I did. She'd say, here's the menu. I'm going to read them off to you, or have the kid read it off if they're old enough. And you order what you want. It's that kind of a thing where...
Give them the power.
Give them the power.
Empower them a little
bit. That's right.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Podcast.
They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
This TikTok mom says that she packs a whole dinner for her kid so that they can, A, save a little money when they're out at a restaurant, and B, that the child will also eat because they're definitely not eating anything at the restaurant. So she'll pack a whole meal in her bag, and then she'll break out the meal when they get to the restaurant, and the child will eat his separate meal,
you know,
as they're ordering their food.
If he's a picky eater and they're trying to save money and they still want to go out and have some fun, I'm saying that's okay. It's not going to last forever. Right?
I hope it doesn't. I just feel like, how do you raise a child that understands, you know, at home we eat the home food, now we're at a restaurant, and now we're having restaurant food, and I mean, it might be a tough process, but like,
but
what point do you make the switch?
You know what? You know, remember when we were growing up, going out was a big deal.
Uh-huh.
So you say, this is a big deal. You got a choice. You can have this, but you could try something new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I remember those days. And mind you, I'm kind of going through them with Everly, my granddaughter, right now, but it's like, you want it to be a pleasant thing.
Yeah, she also says that she thinks it's crazy for her to pay the $6.99 for the chicken fingers and fries.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, what we do is we'll just share whatever is in our plate with him, so, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Get some of the rice and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't ever picture a moment where I'll bring a whole separate meal for him.
Well, let me tell you something. I've had a lot of chicken fingers and fries. That was not what my first choice, but, you know. And also, you take it home with you, leftovers, and you can eat it yourself.
Right. Anyway. Right. What are the parent hacks coming in on text for how to get a kid to eat at a restaurant?
Well, somebody said that we would have to tell our oldest son that all the meat was Power Ranger chicken.
Yeah, where it is.
To get him to eat, no matter where we were.
Power Ranger chicken. with the Megazord chicken leg, right?
I like that one.
That's good marketing. Paw Patrol.
Oh, man. What are parent hacks?
Somebody said I took my kids to buffets and they could pick whatever they wanted and they got to eat right away. So, for example, the Mandarin.
Okay.
And I think, like, my dad did that a lot, too. Like, after church on a Sunday, we'd go to a buffet. And then that's the easy way.
As long as I could see up to the buffet if they're that tall, right?
Right. Exactly.
That's funny.
But some people reacting to the story saying that's a hard no. You teach your kid to eat what you put in front of them. Let them dictate things now, and you are in for a long ride raising them.
I'll tell you, there's a good point that I don't remember growing up and having many choices. You know, like food, this is the food, this is what we're eating.
But did you go out that much? Because we didn't. So when my mother would be like cooking stuff, my dad'd say it's either eat or see you later.
You know, we'd go to a Chinese restaurant every now and then. We'd go to a lot of Jamaican cuisine, but I don't remember having choices. Like, I don't remember being given the option.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember having a say.
I remember my mom.
Did I even talk when I was a kid?
No, you did. No, it just was kind of understood. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's a treat to go out for dinner.
Yeah.
Make it a treat for yourself and give it a little peace.
Mm.
And then when you're at home, that's when you say, I worked really hard to make this meal or start making it together. You know me, I do too much lifestyle television. but it's just like, you know, looking back and taking a step backwards, it's like, it's not forever that this kid is going to be like that because they're highly influenced by kids at school.
Yeah.
When my granddaughter came home and said, I'd like some hummus, I looked at her like, really? Because I have a ton of it, but okay.
Yeah.
It was offered. It's
like, how do you even know what that is?
I know. I just.
Yo, my son the other day said gluten-free pizza. I'm like, what you know about gluten-free pizza? Like, what do you.
Well, there you have it.
What would you know about that?
That's what's happening. That's what's happening now.
Gluten-free pizza. Anyway. Well, different times, different methods, different children, different household. Very funny. Keep texting 104536. Let us know what's going on in your house.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
You see Sydney Sweeney recently?
Yes, I have. Boy, she's really doing well these days. Especially the red carpet.
Yeah, she was on the carpet at the Cannes Film Festival.
Uh-huh.
And most of you will know her from White Lotus, or maybe even from Euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
But now the talk about Sydney is the trend that apparently she has kind of influenced people with. The visible bra trend, where you can actually see the bra.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of peeks out from the shirt a little bit, but this is not new.
No,
this was done before, right?
Well, it's an interesting thing because when camel soles were really in about, I don't know, 20, 10, 11, 12, just the camel soles, thank you, Tina Turner, for bringing that forward in the 90s. But anyway, what you do is you would wear a camel sole, but if you felt that you didn't have enough support, you'd wear a bra. You could see it with the camel sole. But this is
I'm going to Google camel sole while you talk.
Okay, camel sole is it's a lingerie. With a little lace.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So there's lace and it's a top instead of a nightie. So this is...
What would me and my guys call this? Be like, yo, did you see that thing she was wearing?
Yeah.
That thing she was... Good.
I always remember in the movie Selena, and she's like, it's a bustier. And the dad was like, it's a bustier la caca.
underneath these tops that are very revealing, it's a bra. You can see the bra strap, but it's kind of sheer. Am I right?
So it could be a little bit lace. It could be a little bit satiny.
Yeah.
But
the girls up.
Right. But a lot of women from at the red carpet in Cannes, they're wearing it under these gowns.
Yes.
But it's a peek through. So it's just like the style of the dress.
Yeah.
So the dress is made so many
different looks.
The dress is made so you could see the bra.
Yeah. So the dress looks like it's actually sitting pretty low.
Uh-huh.
And then the triangles from the top of the bralette are showing.
Okay.
So it looks like the bra, or even if it's a strapless, it looks like there's a lot of women that are doing the kind of sweetheart cut necks with their bras sticking out of the dresses.
I'm with it.
I'm speaking a different language to you, Jamar.
He's like, the sweetheart thing, I was like, all right, maybe this is shaped like a heart? Is that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But she, like, sweetheart. Lindsay, everyone's doing it. Like, Scarlett Johansson. All of a sudden, all these women are taking on this trend. So it's a trend, everyone.
Okay. So when will we get the photos of the ladies on trend?
You know what? I feel like for this.
I'm not going to repeat.
Okay. Okay.
If you've done it before, you don't need to repeat.
Point taken.
I don't really love it sticking out of the shirt, but I like if you're wearing a sheer top over top of the bra.
Do you guys remember when the whale tail was the thing? You remember that thing?
Whale tail? Oh, yes, I remember. Sorry. Yeah, the whale tail.
Do you remember whale tail, Marilyn?
No.
Whale tail was when girls would have the panty kind of coming up above the above the jeans.
You know what? Those are actually coming back.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They're creating jeans that look like it, though.
All right.
Oh, instead of your hanky-panky underwear.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hanky-panky.
It's a brand name.
It's a brand name?
You've seen it.
I've never heard it.
You probably experienced it, but you didn't know it's called hanky-panky.
Hanky-panky, all right.
Canadian company. Let's hear it for Canada.
Nice.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. It'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
Not sure what you have planned to wear for the weekend, but you might want to consider mermaid core. What are some of the other cores that have come and gone?
You said Barbie core.
Yeah. Barbie core. I mean, this is kind of like a play on the word hardcore, right?
Yeah, right.
And then everything else becomes a derivative of that. Mermaid core is the new trend.
Okay.
So Barbie core was everyone wearing a lot of pink. Mm-hmm. So pink heels, pink blazer, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think with mermaid core, what's really fun is that you could really experiment with your fashion in terms of sequins and those kind of blue sparkly colors.
Okay,
and
so the sequins kind of like emulate the scales of a fish or something like that?
Well, I thought I had to wear fins for a moment.
A
seashell bra.
Yeah.
A seashell bra. I don't have one of those.
Well, you know, it's so funny because in some of these bathing suits, they're doing more of that now. And bralettes.
Yes.
Bralettes?
They're like little bras.
Oh.
So the bralettes are the ones that can peek out underneath your shirt.
Got it.
So I'm a bralette.
You know, I was in Zara yesterday and they have a bunch of, what are those?
What
are those star-shaped fish?
Yeah.
Earrings and necklaces.
Look at that.
I was like, wow, that's very mermaid core.
Mermaid core.
That's what you find when you're near, like, the shore. Right? You go into these gift shops, they have shells and all.
They got the blue rocks, those see-through rocks that are kind of like glassy looking.
Except now it's more expensive. Right. That's all.
Because the demand is up.
What about like hair and hair accessories? Are there hair accessories?
Yeah, I want to say there's still like clips in the shape of seashells and you can get bags, you can get pearl earrings.
Yeah.
But this style is taking the world by storm. The number is 736% Google searches and sales of mermaid core. Anyone looking for like a new color is turning to this palette. Those blues, those kind of sandy, khaki looking colors, little browns like the sandalwood and all that stuff. And that is like the new color palette for the summer, mermaid core.
All right.
I like it.
You like it?
I'm on it.
Okay.
Maybe not the shiny stuff, but I'm on that.
And you know, the silhouette of a mermaid skirt is really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because it kind of gives you the look of a fin.
Like a little fishtail.
Yeah. So it's tight. That goes all the way down your body.
And then angular.
Yes. And then it comes outwards a little bit closer down to your ankles.
Are you guys, I've seen you guys nodding. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just trying to follow along.
I'm trying to explain it.
Okay.
Simone, what mermaid core outfits will we be rocking this weekend?
Right.
Are fishnets okay? Is that part of mermaid core?
Fishnets.
There we go.
Do you have a pair?
You're going to wear it?
What are those fishnet tops?
He's got it all. Do you have a jersey for that or a t-shirt for that?
I have a mesh marina. That's all I have. Huh? That's as far as I can go with fishnets. But okay. Mermaid core. That is the trend. And you'll probably be rocking some of those colors and those styles this summer.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. It'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
So how'd it work in your house with chores and your child?
I
don't remember, but I do remember my dad. Can I say what that was all
about?
Yeah,
anything's, anything's open for a discussion.
Saturday morning was... my dad was a great pianist, and when he played Rachmaninoff, we were in a lot of trouble. And when we played Bach, it was going to be a pretty easy day.
So the song determined the type of chore they would
be. Exactly. It was the tone. It was the soundtrack of what the day was going to be like. Rachmaninoff is a little bit more rocky and a little bit more dramatic. And Bach was a little bit more easygoing. How about you?
When I was growing up, it was like a group effort. We got assigned a different chore. I was usually on vacuuming.
Ah.
Because I was, you know, strong enough to bring the vacuum upstairs.
Yeah, you had to carry that thing.
Yeah, the thing was heavy back in the day, of course.
Oh, wow.
And then I think my sister would do the bathrooms and my mom would do the kitchen.
Okay.
And then this is before my little sister. But now in my house, our son is 4.
Yeah.
Chores not really part of his thing. But I will tell you, we kind of do what's going on here, according to this article. Mm-hmm. The ancient Mayans, the Mayan society from ancient Mexico, gives inspiration on how you can get your kid to do chores. Apparently, in Mayan society, the kids actually voluntarily did chores. Like, they wanted to do the chores. Because as these children were growing up, they were partaking in the chores with parents as if it was just like the thing to do.
Oh, like it was like a family. It's like going to
family activity.
Wet and wild.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Together. Okay.
Yeah, always do it together.
Okay.
So according to a reporter who specializes in parenting, if you're having trouble getting your kids doing chores, here are the tips based on the inspiration of the ancient Mayans.
All right.
Do the chores while your kids are playing, because when your kids, don't do chores while the kids are playing.
Yeah, because,
Because you have to do chores as a family bonding time.
Yeah, so turn the TV off, and you can have the music on, you can have chum on, but just turn the TV off so their attention is at what we're doing.
Yep, and always ask your kids for help when you're doing something. It was just funny. I kind of actually do this now with my son. So if I'm emptying the dishwasher, I'll be like, hey, Kof, I need help with this spoon. And he'll come running over because he's at the age right now where the stuff is still kind of like, oh, yeah, I want to help. He wants to help with everything.
Yeah, and so, yeah, 4, huh? That's so great. It makes them feel like they're responsible. They want to have that responsibility. It makes them feel important.
They are the helping age right now.
They really are.
So you start doing that now.
Yeah.
And then as they get older, hopefully the thought is that just helping out around the house becomes something that is something they're used to.
You normalize it.
And
you know what? When you do that, as they say, they become better adults.
Yep.
There you have it.
That is.
We love those Mayans.
Yeah, well, thank you to the Mayans for,
good idea.
Mm-hmm. That's probably how they got those pyramids finished. You got to have the help of
the
kids.
Get the youngest to put the thing on at the top.
Yeah. So do chores with kids.
Turn TV
not
off.
While they're playing. Turn TV off.
Yeah.
Always ask them for their help.
Turn up Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
Hey, listen, say what you want about Kim Kardashian, but I do believe that many times she has some really thoughtful things to say. This one is one of my favorite things. She says, and she's revealed what she gives to her children every year for their birthday. You could probably take a guess, and you'll be dead wrong. This is one of the most thoughtful things that you can give your child for a birthday. Take a listen.
Every year, I write each one of my kids about a 4 or 5 page letter about on their birthday about what the year was like, who their friends are, silly words they're saying, their favorite foods, all the silly things that they do, and a little journey of what the year is like.
How about
that's
that?
A gift.
Isn't that great?
That's a great gift, because then you look back in time and I said that? That was my word for peanut butter? That's crazy. My parents kept a couple of things. I used to leave them a note on the stairs. I can't sleep. I think I'm going to throw up. You better come see me ASP. I don't know. And my mother said the notes were so funny that she kept them for me. And I thought, you know, listening to what she's done, she's really been thorough with that. And that's a great journal for the kids to have.
It's incredible.
It really is.
I mean, just
never too late, right?
Never too late. A friend of mine actually gave me a suggestion that I started following through with it, but I haven't done it completely yet. He said that you need to email your child, set up an email account for your child, and then email your child maybe like once a month periodically, and just send them an email that just sits in this email box. And then when they come of age, when they need an email account, be like, hey, you got an email account, I set it up for you. And by the way, there's all this mail for years sitting in this email box
about you,
things that, you know, I wanted to tell you, things I was feeling, what happened at school today,
the funny thing you said,
right?
Yeah.
And it'll be there for eternity.
Wow, that's,
isn't that a great idea?
That's a really great idea.
You know, just think of anybody, even that, like myself, many people who've lost their parents. You know, I lost my dad when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
I mean, every now and then I'll come up.
You have his records.
I have his records, which mean the world to me.
Yes, yeah.
But I mean, every now and then I'll stumble across something that has his handwriting on it, maybe like an old check or something like that.
Me too.
And I'll be like, wow, that's his handwriting.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if I had something that was addressed to me,
yeah,
it would mean the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good idea from Kim.
And, you know, also added to that, as they get older and they start writing letters, if they do at the time, or it's just emails. But my parents, they saved, when I went through my mom's stuff, she saved letters when I was in my freshman and sophomore year at University of Idaho.
Yeah.
And they are really telling.
Wow.
Here's my class. I like my roommate. I don't know about this thing. You know, it's just who you are at the time.
Yeah.
Just a baby broadcaster. Right. So
of course.
See yourself develop. So any kind of, I like what Kim does, and any kind of a little, you can't save all the artwork, okay? You just can't do it. But little pieces of who this person is before they become an adult, I'd like her thinking a lot.
Yeah, the spoken and written word are priceless.
Really priceless, and so important they took the time to do that. Way to go, Kim.
So someone who has all the money in the world, what do you get their kids? That's what you get your kids.
I love that,
Kim. That's a good one from Kim. Maybe you could take a page out of her book.
Marilyn Dennison Jamar. 104.5 Podcast.